Hey, today we're beginning a new series that we are calling Lighten Up, because sometimes we make life way too heavy, okay? Sometimes we make life heavier on ourselves or harder on ourselves than we really need to do. And sometimes because of that, we get morose, which is a good word, and don't know how to move ahead. Now, our theme this year is thrive, and what we want to do is we want to thrive in life. As Jesus has said, I want you to have abundant life in this place called planet Earth, and so I want you to actually enjoy it. And I want you to have this abundancy, if that's a word. I want you to have an abundant life here on Earth, and sometimes we have to internally and mentally lighten up, okay? Lighten up, because we think it's too hard. And so what I want to spend a few moments talking about is, how do you cure your negative thinking? How do you cure your negative thinking? And you might think, oh, that sounds an awful lot like pop psychology, and it's not. Because actually, the Bible talks an awful lot about how we approach our attitude towards life. And that's a God thing, and how God works in us to actually cure our negative thinking. Stuff begins to get caught up in our heads, and we begin to just simply believe that, I don't know, somehow God's not paying attention to us. I don't know if you ever felt that, but like, this is a bad day, this is a horrible day, and it's only going to get worse. Easter Sunday was great around here, and we had a ton of people. I mean, just packed, you know, people on this way at three Easter services. And after three services, I was beat, you know, and I was almost ready to say, if we'd had a fourth service, I would have said, you know, Jesus rose from the dead, deal with it, you know, we're done here, and go on. But we had three, and then right after the service, we had to take my daughter to the airport. She had to fly back down to Southern California, and which means I have to say goodbye to one of my kids, and that's just always emotionally hard for me, you know. She had only been here for the weekend, but just to say goodbye to your kid's hard, you know, on that one. So I'm coming down off of this big high adrenaline rush of Easter, you know, it's beginning to crash, and so I've got all this chemical stuff going down, and I'm having to say goodbye to my daughter, and that's really tough. And I told Lisa, I don't want to go home and mope, because all I'm going to do is go home and mope. You know, I'm just going to go home and mope, and you don't want that. And so as long as we're over the hill, how's this for Easter Sunday? Let's do something productive, like go to Target. You know, honestly. I mean, why not? Because it's foggy over there, and there's a little bit of sun here, so let's just go to Target. Well, the Target by the airport's closed. You know, the Target by there is closed. It's closed down. And I thought, oh, so what do we do now? So let's go to the one in Foster City. Right, there's one in Foster City. And those of you, if you're new here to town, it just... And I thought, but you know what's awesome? On 101, as we're going down, there's an In-N-Out right there. Easter dinner, right, awesome, right there. So we get there, you know, and guess what about the In-N-Out on Easter Sunday is what? It's closed. It's closed. So we're dealing with, yeah. So we drive down to the one in Foster City, and the one in Foster City is what? Closed. You know, it's closed. I thought, but that's okay, because there's a Chick-fil-A here and we can eat there. And I turned around and it's Sunday and Chick-fil-A is what? It's closed. Yeah. And negative thinking is like this, you know, and you start getting into this, of course it's closed. Have you ever done that? Of course it's closed. Or of course things are going wrong. Or it figures, you know, or it's probably going to break, or it's not going to work, or nothing ever what? Works right for me, right? Nothing ever works, or I never get a break in life. And we get into that pattern of thinking. I don't know if you ever do, and maybe it's just a me thing, you know, I don't know. But that's sometimes when I get into that kind of stuff. And, you know, days like this do not help. Honestly, they do not help. Somebody said, "Enjoy. Are you enjoying our liquid sunshine?" It's like, no, this is terrible for me. But if you said that stuff, you get stuck there, and your thoughts go that way. And I began to ask the question, well, why? Why? I mean, why do our thoughts go that way? Number one is experience, okay? It's experience. My thoughts go that way because things, a lot of times, what? Happen that way. You know, they really do. We've been down that road enough to know that there are potholes in this road called life, you know. Kaboom. Things are closed. I do miss signals. You know, things don't go right all the time. And the second reason is I'm human. Because I'm human, negative things affect my thinking. And they affect the chemicals in my brain, and they affect what's going on in my head, my heart. And, you know, like I said, missing signals affects my thinking. Missing signals affects my mood. You know, those little things, because I'm a human being. You know, we are human, and those kinds of things affect us. And there are bad things that happen, and I don't know, you can only take so much, you know, for beings to really begin to get you down or get you thinking through net. In the Bible, in the record of the Bible, time and time again, there are people who just wanted to say, I've had enough. I've had enough, you know? I'm kind of done with this whole thing. I mean, if you want to read the case study, and that's Elijah in 1 Kings 18 and 19. He's a prophet of God, and he's a big deal, you know? He was a big guy in the whole situation of what's going on in the kings and telling the truth of what God wants to say. He's a pretty godly guy, and has just done some cool stuff to bring people closer to God. Big, you know, big adrenaline rush going on here. And the government locked down on him and put out a wanted, dead or alive kind of a situation. And he'd done this great thing for God, and now he's wanted, and he's tired, he's beat. And this is what the Bible says. Elijah walked a whole day into the wilderness. He stopped and sat down in the shade of a tree and wished he would die. Okay? He wished he would die. That's how down he was. It's too much, Lord, he prayed. Take away my life. I might as well be dead. I might as well be dead. And so you read the continued story, and he's on this, like, broken record track for a long time until God had to say, okay, I can still work with you in this, but it's not over. John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus. He baptized Jesus and proclaimed Jesus. And the government got ticked off with John for a whole nother purpose, a whole nother reason, and had him arrested. And John's in prison, going nowhere, okay? And he sends a message to Jesus. The Bible says, John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who's to come, or should we expect somebody else? I'm having doubts now. I have doubts about this whole Jesus thing because my life as a human, you know, going through all these hard kinds of things, my life as a human is not going really well. He got clicked into negative thinking. It's human. It's normal. It's what we do. And when things get so goofy and so bad, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. Now, some of you are optimists. I define an optimist as somebody who's oblivious to reality, but that's my definition on that. And this is not necessarily just an optimism and pessimism thing, okay? This is not just, it's not just that one. There comes a time when we just start to think this, things are just going wrong and things are going bad. And this is where, and if you are here for Easter Sunday, this is where I started. We talked about his resurrection power will help us. And you think, well, how in the world does what he did, you know, 2,000 years ago, rising from the dead, help us? Because it gives us an inside thing, an inside change that begins to happen. This is what Peter said. He said, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. And substitute the us for Paul or for your name. God's divine power has given Paul everything he needs for life and for godliness. And I want that. I want life and godliness. But life is hard, but you can thrive in it. And I want to talk about three things. Something to know, something I need to hear again and again, and something I need to be able to draw upon, okay? Something I need to know, something I need to hear, and something I need to draw upon. Here's what I need to know, okay? And I mean I need to get it in my head so it becomes part of my operating system. This is the operating system I need to have. And here it is. God is in charge. God's in charge of this. I need to get that as part of my system the way I think. And that's one of those duh statements. Is God in charge of this? Duh. Yeah, of course he is. and if I gave you a quiz and said, is God in charge? You'd get that question right 100% of the time. But if it wasn't a quiz, instead it was evident by the way you live and trust. by the way you're living and trusting, do you get that right 100% of the time? See, we academically know that God's in charge, but we have to internalize it and live it and work it all out. And the theological term for this is sovereignty, and that's a big word, but it means God is overall, in charge of overall, and it's a good word. And God is completely in charge of this place. I mean, the movement of the stars, tides of the ocean, even the life of a bird, okay? Listen to this. Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And God knows, okay? God knows when a bird falls. Just he knows. He's aware of it. He knows it. And God is in charge of the day, this day, and the weather and the traffic signals and every little cell that's working in my body. Something to know. God is in charge. Next thing to know is God sees me. And that term is theologically omniscience. It means God knows everything, and God is able to see you and know you. And there's a great story in the Bible of a woman, and she's part of God's plan. And she actually ends up becoming collateral damage to somebody else's dysfunction. Okay? She is collateral damage to someone else's screw-ups. And it all goes sour for her, and she takes off. She's alone, and she's pregnant, and she's miserable. And that's not good. And she is absolutely in a bad spot, and she's met by God in the middle of the desert with nowhere to go and every reason to be negative. And after she encounters God, the Bible says, you are a God who sees me. Sees me. And I don't know about you, but knowing that God sees me sitting here in the signal that's never going to change, you know, God sees me, it changes something incrementally, but enough to be able to say, okay, there's something going on here. There's a God who's involved in this. And as I read through the Bible, I don't see a distant God. I see a God who's amazingly close. He's a personal God. And the last thing to know is God is for me. And the theological term for that is, I don't know, awesome, I guess, awesome. God is for me. There's a famous verse on this one. The Bible says, if God's for us, who can ever be against us? That means in the most negative time, God is what? For you. He is for you. And then it goes on to say, he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Won't he also give us everything else? Okay, you pull these things together. God's in charge. God sees me. God is for me. When we say things are always going wrong for me, that's the illusion. That's the illusion, for we have a God who's for us and not against us, who's working in a million different ways in your life to work things out for good, for good. And the great thing is I don't have to know what the good is. I don't have to know that. That's the trust part. I just trust that if he's in charge of everything, he knows how to take care of me. Okay, something to hear. There's something I need to hear. Have you ever had a hearing test? Any of you ever had a hearing test? If you haven't, it means you're old, okay? You're over 60. Because you're over 60, you get those things. And I had to, because for some reason, Lisa asked me to do some chores, and I just can't seem to hear them. I just can't seem. But you're there, and you got these little earphones on, and you strain, and you strain, and you try and hear. There's a phrase in the Bible, and it happens in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it goes something like this. They have eyes, but they can't what? And they have ears, but they can't hear. Yeah. And it's a good phrase, and we get it, because we always can't figure out what God's doing. And that means what I need to hear is I need to hear God's voice above the noise of life. I need to hear God's voice above the noise of life, because life can make a lot of noise here. And you kind of say, really, it's not being able to hear God's voice above all the things that are going wrong. And if I'm listening or seeing all the things that are going wrong, I can't see how God is working. And it seems like then God is only negative and things are broken. And there is in the negative and wrong and broken a hard part that happens in my life. A lot of our past traumas have stayed past traumas because we haven't been able to hear God's voice in the midst of that trauma. Or we haven't been able to hear what God was saying to us when we were going through it. And so all we remember is the trauma. And we're going to deal with this a little bit more in the fall, a little bit more extensively. And I'm just learning about this and stuff in my own life. But when you go through a traumatic event, when you go through a really traumatic event, something is going through you. There's all kinds of stuff that's going through your head and your mind, your heart, and all this kind of stuff on this one. And usually it's survive or panic or fear or pain. Those are the things that are going through. And basically it's an experience that's laying down an imprint on your soul, right? An impression is being made on your soul, on your heart, on your life. And most often the trauma or fear is so huge and so emotional that the imprint only has the trauma of, only has trauma, fear, danger, grief, and shock. Okay? By the way, post-traumatic stress is when someone comes, when something comes up that's similar to that pattern that was already laid down. And all of a sudden it reminds you of this thing that happened here. And the only thing that you remember is the feelings that you felt over here. And all of a sudden what comes up again is what? Trauma, fear, danger, grief, and shock. And this is, again, post-traumatic stress syndrome. And when you go back into your mind, into that situation, or there's a situation that's incredibly similar or even vaguely familiar, your mind and your heart go right back into those emotions, and you can't get past it. It's like you're reliving all those emotions all over again. Does that make sense to you? You know, and if those of you that have gone through some pretty traumatic stuff or never been able to work through it, you go right back into that, and you get stuck in this weird loop. It's a horrible loop, and it's a terrible place to get stuck into. You are reliving it all over again. Okay, you're reliving it all over again, and it's a horrible situation. There's healing for that, because what you and I did not know when we were going through that traumatic event, there was another voice that was speaking to us at that time, but we could not hear it above the noise of all the trauma and the grief and the pain that was happening. There was another voice that was, quote, speaking to us, and it was the voice of God. And you're only human, and you weren't listening to it, and I get it, and I understand it, because it's happened to me as well. But in a sense, I did not have ears to hear what was going on as far as what God was saying to me. What I need to hear is God's voice and what God was saying to me as I was going through that. And there are, by the way, to help begin to heal the post-traumatic stress, there are people that are trained really well in helping take you back into that traumatic event. And this time, walking you through the very same situation emotionally, only this time you're listening for God's voice in the midst of it. And the questions they will ask you is, okay, go back into that time, that moment that this was happening to you. What are you feeling? And you'll explain the feeling. What are you thinking? Okay, let's shift gears. What was God saying to you at that time? What did God want you to know through that time? And you think, well, how can I relive that experience? And the answer is you can, because you're doing it every single time you think about it. You're reliving the time again, only this time with God walking you through. And the questions are asked, what is God saying to you that you could not hear? Let's listen to God's voice now as you're going through it again. God is saying things like this: I will never leave you or forsake you. He was saying that to you. God was saying, I'm with you always. God is saying, I am for you and not against you. God was saying, you're walking through a shadow, but fear not, I'm with you. I am for you. you're not alone. God is saying, I am mighty to save. I am mighty to save. And you go through this emotional event of experiencing it all over again, only this time with God. I know we had to do it. I had to do it. You go away completely drained and spent, but the sting of it is gone. The sting of it's gone. Hear God's voice in this. And you can get that daily when you hear God's voice in the Bible. I didn't put that on the screen, but this is why I read the Bible. Because I want to know this kind of a God that walks with me. I need to know that, the little reminders of that. And then there's something to draw upon. Draw upon your experience of God's love for you. In Jesus' day, the term remember, you know, for us it's remember, it's just kind of like, oh yeah, 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 I just remember that. It's not just to recall in your head. In Jesus' day, the word remember means experience it all over again, kind of like that traumatic thing. The Bible says this, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. One more thing I just simply want to share. Let yourself be human in all of this negative thinking thing. Give yourself some grace in order to be human. I know some people say, oh, I shouldn't be thinking this way. What does God think of me right now? You know, and you know what God thinks of you right now when you're thinking all the negative, even, you know, all this stuff. You know what God's thinking about you right now? He what? He loves you. He loves you. He's not saying, stop it. You know, you're a Christ follower for crying out loud. And Jesus did all this for you. And you're complaining about Target being closed, you ungrateful slob. You know, it's like, that's not what God's doing, you know. You and I have off days when, whether it's through bad pizza or lack of sleep or who knows what, we'll be in a bad mood. And everything's bad. He knows that. And if you take a guilt trip about this, you're no longer being human about it. You're trying to be God, and that never works. And you're heading into a dead end of trying to perform yourself into godliness, and you can't, and now you're in a bad loop. God designed you to go to him for it and to depend upon him and others. And so in the midst of all of this negative that you can't shake yourself out of, go to God and say, God, it's a mess. I can't do anything about it. I can't shake myself out of this. And here's a really, really good word. Help. Help. God, help. That's a good word, help. And really, honestly, that's what brought you to God in the first place, and that's what's going to help you keep close to him. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up and sit up behind me, and we're going to close in prayer in just a second, and we're going to, in a few moments, finish with a song, but I would like to pray for you and with you, and also remind you that if you want somebody to pray for you today, in the prayer room over there, there will be people there, great people, that will listen and talk and pray and encourage you through it. If there's a way that we can help you in any way spiritually, let us know. Blue card, or just personally come up to us and say, one of us, and say, hey, I'd love to meet with you and talk. But he's a good God. You know, he's a good God and loves you. And don't get down on yourself for being negative. Just go back to him and say, help. Pray with me, please, would you? In this moment, Lord, we want to enjoy your goodness to us. And even though in this world we have trouble, you've overcome the world. What an awesome thing, God, to know that you not only beat death, but if you can beat death, you can give us life abundant that begins even right now. And Father, may we even allow the negative circumstances of life to come close to you, because in your nearness, in your closeness, is the fullness of our joy. I pray for the person now who is just trying to make it through another day. God, this is a day you've made. And you've allowed them to be in it. Give them that sense of closeness with you, which is better even than sunshine, better even than green lights, and even Target being opened. The closeness of you. And we thank you for your love for us that endures forever. And we thank you for Jesus.